Okay, ready? Okay. So it's Parshas Bo, Taf Shin Ayin. So what we're doing today is we are building on, developing, showing more concrete examples and ramifications of the theme we spoke about, not last week, but in when we did Parshas Shemos. Okay? Now, what we spoke about, to remind you, is we spoke about Eila Shemos B'nei Yisrael, Haboy Mitzrayimah. And we discussed the idea that the way to read that pasuk is to focus on the word Shemos. These are the names that came down to Mitzrayim. Do you remember this? And we read the long Medrash, from the Medrash Rabbah from Shemos. And it's explained how every one of the names was on account of Hashem's redemption of Klal Yisrael. And various facets of Hashem's redemption. So that the names we bore, our names which we never changed, the names themselves represented Hashem's guarantee to save us. So we came down to Mitzrayim with the name, with our names being the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically Hashem's role in the salvation of Klal Yisrael. Now the reason that this is important, it's fundamentally important because it's the guarantee of our continued survival and the guarantee of our future geula, because we said that it is only because Hashem has made it through the bris HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with the Avos. Hashem has made it that the only way that there will be a recognition of Kavod Shemayim in this world, the only way that the people in this world will know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is another way of saying, for example, the only way that Hashem will be enthroned on the Kisei HaKavod. Right? What is the Kisei HaKavod? There is no chair up there. The Kisei HaKavod is the recognition of Hashem by humanity. That's called the Kisei HaKavod. In other words, when Klal Yisrael leading the world as B'ni B'chori, my firstborn. In other words, not that we were born automatically first. We're not the first nation to come on the scene. But we took upon ourselves, we chose the role of firstborn in that we would lead the other children back to a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only through Klal Yisrael in that role of B'ni B'chori, leading the rest of the world, will Hashem be known in this world. In other words, only by us giving Hashem kavod, which is another way of saying recognizing Hashem and submitting to the will of Hashem, which is another way of saying enthroning Hashem on the Kisei HaKavod, only through Klal Yisrael will Hashem be known in this world, which is the tachlis of the whole Bria, that God should be known in this world, because up in heavens Hashem is known. It's this world that we're talking about. That's the point of this whole Bria. That people down here, the people inhabiting the physical world, should recognize Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that the only way Hashem will be known in this world is through the salvation, the Yeshuas of Klal Yisrael. The only way a time HaKadosh Baruch Hu breaks into history and changes things around and brings the world to a recognition of Him is through the salvations of Klal Yisrael. And this is what the Beis HaLevi said, that the greatest wonder of all the wonders is that Hashem Himself is limited, so to speak, or bound up to, or tied eternally to the fate of Klal Yisrael, and can only be known through the Yeshuas of Klal Yisrael. And we said, so the Rabbi Shachar points this out, which really is another way of saying that Hashem has a Ahava She'ena Tluya B'davar. So really another way of saying Ahava, love, that isn't connected to anything, because the fact is that if it's for Hashem's name that we are eventually extricated from Galus and saved, then it really isn't based on our merit. That's what it's saying. It's based on the fact that Hashem has no other choice but to be known through Klal Yisrael and through our Yeshuas. So that's another way of saying Ahava She'eino Tluya B'davar, love that's not dependent on anything, right? Because if it was dependent on the merit of Klal Yisrael, then it's for us. Then it's how we do that determines our fate and our destiny. But that's not what we're saying. It's not about how we do. It's about Hashem's ultimate need in this world to fulfill the tachlis of the Bria. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not get to fulfill the tachlis of the Bria, then there was no point in the whole Bria, and the whole thing was one big mistake, which is an impossibility, because Hashem did it. Hashem made it. So the bottom line is, what we're saying is there's an unconditional love, so to speak, for Klal Yisrael. It's another way of saying that Hashem's name is, as Rav Moshe Pir points out here, he brings down, that one of the names of Hashem is Goaleinu, right? Goaleinu, Hashem Tzavakos Shemo. That's Hashem Tzavakos' name, Goaleinu, our Savior. Or he points out, Podeinu Umatzileinu, our Pode, the one who brings us a pidyon, a change in our status, a redemption spiritually, Umatzileinu, and the one that saves us, Me'olam Shemecha, that forever is your name. That's Hashem's name. Hashem's name is Podeinu Matzileinu, right? So this is an incredibly powerful idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod, the kavod of Hashem, the ability for Hashem to be on the Kisei HaKavod, is completely intertwined with the Gula of Klal Yisrael. So what that also means is that it's not about the merit of Klal Yisrael that brings about the Gula. But what that doesn't mean is that, yes, it's not our merit that brings the Gula, but once the Gula takes place, if we don't catch up and play our role, then there's no guarantee necessarily for us, for each and every individual Klal Yisrael, in each individual person. The Geula comes Laman Shemo, on account of his name, Yeshua's of Klal Yisrael, but then we are expected to be worthy, make ourselves worthy. So what we're going to talk about now is something that isn't really mentioned openly in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but is described very clearly in Perek Chaf of Yechezkel. Now the question is, why isn't it mentioned in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim? So it's mentioned briefly, okay, in the beginning of Parshas Va'era. If you flip to very beginning of Parshas Va'era, Hashem promises Moshe that He's going to take Klal Yisrael out now with a strong hand. And here's where you find Emor Lebnei Yisrael, Pasuk Vav, in Parshas Va'era, right in the beginning. Perek Vav, Pasuk Vav. Go tell Klal Yisrael, Ani Hashem, Votzesi Eschem Mitachas Suvlos Mitzrayim, I'll take you out from under the burdens, Vitzalti Eschem, Me'avodosam, Vigaalti Eschem, Bezronatuya, Beshvatim Gedolim, Lekachti Eschem, you know what these are, right? And v'yadatem ki ani Hashem Elokechem hamotzi eschem mitach ha'sivlos Mitzrayim. So first I'm going to do all these great things, and then you will know that I am the one. So the point of the Makos clearly stated here is, and the whole Geula, so that Klal Yisrael will know Hashem. That's the point of it. It wasn't just for the Mitzrayim, definitely for the Mitzrayim either, l'man yedu Mitzrayim, but clearly Hashem wants to educate Klal Yisrael in who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so they should devote themselves to His service. So the Pasuk in Ches says, V'hevesi eschem el eretz asher nasasi es yadi l'seis osam l'avram l'yitzlach Yaakov, I'll bring you to the land, give it to you as an inheritance. And then there's one Pasuk here, not much, very little mentioned. Yechezkel goes on for a very long time about what's behind the scenes in this Pasuk. V'yidaber Moshe Kein el b'nei Yisrael, Moshe went ahead and reported this, convey this, v'lo shamu el Moshe mikotzer ruach u'me'avoda kasha. They didn't listen. What do you mean they didn't listen? Moshe told them that Hashem is saving you. What does it mean they didn't listen? They heard the words. Didn't listen to what? There's something we're not being told. What didn't they listen to? V'lo shamu, they didn't listen. What do you mean? They just closed their eyes and ears to the besura of the Geula, to the news of the Geula, and to the, you know, the good fortune that they'll be taking, they just closed their ears and they couldn't hear it. So Yechezkel, the Navi Yechezkel tells us what really happened here, is the fact is that Moshe had more instructions for Klal Yisrael than are expressed in this pasuk. Okay? But they're not mentioned here, probably because the fact that they didn't listen to Moshe about these instructions that we're going to read, is understandable, and the Pasuk is more, instead of indicting them, the Pasuk is really, in a sense, explaining, giving an excuse, or mitigating circumstances, kind of absolving them somewhat. Because the Pasuk says they didn't listen to Moshe. To what? We'll see. Because kotzer ruach me'avodah kasha, because they were just psychologically and physically in a state of torment, and therefore they didn't listen. Okay, what didn't they listen to that the Torah is kind of excusing them for somewhat? So this is what in Yechezkel Perek Chaf it says. Vayhi was in the we'll skip to pasuk five. Hashem is chastising Klal Yisrael through Yechezkel the Navi. Okay? And he says, Famartalehem, go tell Klal Yisrael in his chastisement, Ko Amar Hashem. Go tell him that this is what Hashem said. Biyom Bachari B'Yisrael. The day I chose Klal Yisrael. And I'll read in English. And I lifted up my hand to the seed of Beis Yaakov. V'yivada lehem be'eretz Mitzrayim. And I made myself known to them in Eretz Mitzrayim. V'eso yodi lehem. And I lifted up my hand to them saying, Ani Hashem Elokechem. I am Hashem your God. V'yomahu nasasu yodi lehem lehotsia mi'eretz Mitzrayim. On that day I lifted up my hand to take them out of Mitzrayim. El eretz asher tarti lehem, to the land that I had sought out for them. Zvas chalav devash, flowing with milk and honey. Tzvihi lechol ha'aretos, the glory of all the lands. V'omar aleim, and I said to them, which is not in our parsha. V'omar aleim, ish, every person, shikutze einav hishlichu, throw away your despicable idols. V'shlichu beglulei Mitzrayim al titamu, v'shlichu send them away, ubeglulei Mitzrayim al titamu, and with the, do not pollute yourself with the idols of Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem Elokechem. In other words, Klal Yisrael, as we know, were Ovdei Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim. Remember something we spoke about a number of times when we taught, and this is important for kids to understand too, when they talk about the 49th level of Tumah. Okay? The 49th level of Tumah that Klal Yisrael were in. You know, if there's only 50 levels, so where exactly were the Egyptians? Okay? Also, what does that mean, 49th level of Tumah? Moshe couldn't figure out why they were in Gullus, remember? Until he saw one Jew was willing to maser, to tell the king about another Jew. He says, oh, okay, they're willing to speak rechilus about each other. That must be why they're in Gullus. In other words, there was nothing obvious about why they had to be in Gullus. He couldn't figure it out. The Egyptians were enslaving whole populations, you know, bathing in innocent babies' blood, throwing children into the river, and there was shtufei zima, seeped in immorality, so that no one knew whose yichus was who. The night of the the dying of the firstborn, it took them a long time to figure out, the Egyptians, what was going on, because so many people were dying. It didn't see, in every house there was the firstborn from the mother with that man, and the firstborn from the mother with another man, and the firstborn with the father from that lady, and, you know, it was, there was too many for, you know, it was the yichus, the immorality was rampant, and they were murderers and thieves. They had an enslaved population that they enriched themselves off for hundreds of years. So if Moshe had to figure out why the Egyptians deserve punishment, it wouldn't have been hard. But he couldn't figure out why Klal Yisrael deserved punishment, right? So where was the 49th level of Tumah? We have to say that it was intellectually they were Tumah. They had lost the concept of a single God. They were not ethically and morally tummy. They were modest, and they were in their spirit, morally they were intact. The only woman who singled out by name to be looked at as, you know, stepping over the line was the Shlomis Bas Divri, who the Egyptian was beating her husband because the Egyptian had been with the wife, it seems, which is the Shlomis. She's faulted for speaking too much, for stepping out of line a little bit too much. That was it. They were morally, you know, intact on every level. It was more of a spiritual, intellectual, you know, failure. But they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They believed in other forces, or forces that worked in addition to God. So this is what Moshe told them to do, to get rid of the Avodah Zarah. That's what was the calling, that they didn't listen to Moshe. And the Pasuk says in Va'era, V'lo Shamu, they didn't listen, it means to get rid of Avodah Zarah. Right? So here's what it says. V'yamaru bi, and they rebelled against me. V'lo avu l'shvoi Eli, and they did not listen to me. Isha shikutze enehem lo ishlichu, they did not get rid of the despicable idols. The Esgilulim Mitzrayim lo azvu, and they did not forsake the Gilulim, the idols of Mitzrayim. But Amar, and I said that I will pour out my wrath upon them, and my anger will be given full rain in the midst of the land of Egypt. I'm going to destroy them too. So that means to say that on the night of Makos Bechoros, after a full year of Makos, which was supposed to cause Klal Yisrael to know Hashem and get rid of their Avodah Zarah, and by Makos Bechoros, Nothing doing. They were still over there, but it's alright. In other words, Hashem waited a year, brought all the makos, hoping, encouraging, this was Moshe's message, to get rid of the Avodah Zarah. So on the night of Makos Bechoros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's real intention, or legitimate, you know, intention would have been not to save Klal Yisrael. They were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So, by the way, that helps us understand, when you skip forward to Parshas Bo, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to slaughter the Korban Pesach and put the blood on the doorway, skip ahead to page 352, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel. What was the point of the blood on the doorways? So obviously, it was not a simon for God to know who's a Jew and who's not a Jew. Hashem obviously knew that. So if you look at Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, V'haya hadam lachem la'os. The dam will be for you a sign on your houses, asher atem sham, that you are inside. And by the way, the blood was put inside the house, not on the outside, where they could see the blood as they ate the Korban Pesach. So what was the point of the blood? The point of the blood was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Klal Yisrael here in Mitzrayim after a year of the Avodah Zarah. Really, when the Mashchis is released, when the Malach HaMavis is released, and we learn, it doesn't distinguish. Certainly doesn't distinguish between this Oved Avodah Zarah and that Oved Avodah Zarah. It was time for Mitzrayim to be punished. It was the Yom Hashem, the day of the Revelation, Giloy Shechina. When the Shechina is revealed, Sheker cannot coexist with the Giloy Shechina. And so everybody, everything attached to Sheker is destroyed, including at this point, Klal Yisrael. What saved them? There was Rachmanis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu here. It's signified by the Korban Pesach that Hashem passed over. Now, the fact that Hashem passed over means he wasn't going to. He was about to smite that house, but then he skipped it. Passing over implies guilt. It implies that it shouldn't have been passed over, and it was a miracle that it was passed over, and there was no reason, there was no legitimate argument for the fact that Klal Yisrael were to be saved above and beyond the Egyptians. So the fact is that they made, so what happened? HaKadosh Baruch said through Moshe, at least do one thing, one little simin, that you're considering the possibility of giving up your Avodah Zarah. Okay, you haven't given them up. But the simin will be that you'll take the Korban Pesach, which the Maral speak about was revered in Egypt, was a symbol of their gods or their god concept, and slaughter it before their eyes so that you are separating yourself. But it was just like a token that you're willing to commit yourself to give up Avodah Zarah. So when they would look at the dam in the inside of their houses, they would realize and remember what they just committed to. Of Hirsch explains this, and on the basis of what they intend to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save them. Not that they were worthy right there. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu save them on this tiny little merit? So the next pasuk says, in Yechezkel, and this is our theme, he says, I was going to l'shvoch hamasi aleihem. I was going to just let my wrath, you know that phrase, l'shvoch hamasi, shvoch hamasa el agoyim, right? L'chalos api behem, to let my fury just completely consume them. B'soch Eretz Mitzrayim, right there among the Egyptians, with the Egyptians. What's the next passage? What's the next words in Yechezkel? V'as l'man shemi. But I did rather on account of my own name. Now we understand what that means, right? My name is Goalenu. The name of Hashem is the Savior of Klal Yisrael. So he can't do this. Levilti hachel le'enei hagayim asherheim v'sochem. In order that my name not be chulin, okay, not be a chalal, chilul, desecrated in the eyes of the gayim asherheim v'sochem, that they are in the midst of. Asher nodati aleihim le'enehim lotzia mirtam, that I said I'm going to take them out of Mitzrayim. So how can I not? So that my name will be desecrated. So my name is wrapped up with the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael. So despite the fact that they were not worthy, I had no choice. Now, Perek Chaf in Yechezkel is very long. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains that he nevertheless took them out of Mitzrayim and brought them to the Midbar, and he said to them, and this is what we know, he saved them anyway, on account of this token that they, you know, kind of displayed that they were ready to give up Avodah Zarah. So he brought them to the Midbar. I gave them chukim and mishpatim. I taught them what they should do. And I gave them my Shabbos as an oath, as a simon between us, that they should know ki ani Hashem mekadsham, that I am Hashem. The whole point is that they should know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of this is that Klal Yisrael should come to be the vehicle for bringing the recognition of Hashem to this world, right? What happened though? Vayamaru, Vayamru bi beis Yisrael b'midbar. And then they rebelled against me in the midbar. Ubechokosai lo halchu. They didn't go in my chukim. Es mishpatai mas, es mishpatai masu, and they despised my mishpatim. And he goes on, and I told them, es shabsosai chalalu. They just desecrated my Shabbos. But Amar and I said, lishbo kamasi aleihem b'midbar. I'm going to let my anger, my fury blaze against them. I'll pour out my wrath against them in the midbar. L'chalosam, to wipe them out. What's the next pasuk? Ve'eseleman shemi, four times in this parak. But on account of my name, what do I got? What can I do? Lebilti hechel ele enei hagayim asher hotzeisi osam. That shouldn't be desecrated in before the gayim that I took Klal Yisrael. So then what happened? I said, fine, I'm not going to. We'll leave him in the midbar. The parak goes on until the next generation, the 40th year. Then there were the children. V'amar el b'neihem b'midbar. So to these children, the next door, the door that was destined to go into Eretz Yisrael, I told them my chukim, and I said, don't mess it up like your fathers did, okay? And don't go live according to my mishpate, you know, according to my rules. Ve'al tishmru ubiglolehem here, ubiglolehem al titamu, and do not defile yourself with their idols. I said to the children in the wilderness, in the statues of your father, do not walk. In other words, don't go their way, and do not observe their mishpatim, the way they, you know, rebelled. Don't do that. Do not defile yourself with their idols. You know there were already still idols in the midbar. Forget about Cheda Egel and Pesel and the idol that, the Nachash, but also the idol they took out, I'm getting a blank, the one who Moshe put in the wall, that he saved from the wall. Oh, yeah. Micha? Pesel Micha? No, that was later. Okay, drop it, forget. Moshe saved one of those babies from the wall and he, it was Micha, right? And he had brought it. Okay, then okay. In any case, right? Pesel Micha. So he says, "Don't do that. I'm giving you your this generation another chance, right? It gave them a Shabbos. What happens? Pasuk Kafalef. Vayamru bi habanim. The children rebelled against it. B'chukosai lo halchu. Es mishpatai lo shamru. So what's the next pasuk? V'hashivosi es yadi, but I restrained my hand. V'as l'man shemi, and I did on account of my name. Now the way this parak ends, he goes on to say, brought them into Eretz Yisrael, and I gave them all the mitzvos, and yet what did they do? They dealt treacherously with them. I brought them into the. They dealt treacherously with me. Hashem says I brought them into the land, and what did they do? And every high hill and every many branched tree, they began to slaughter their sacrifices, right? And they provoked me. And they poured their libations. This is to Avodah Zarah, to the Avodah Zarahs, right? And they made bamas. So said Hashem to Bnei Yisrael again, are you defiling yourselves in the way of your forefathers? Are you going astray after their abominations? And you cause your children to pass through the fire, right? Remember the Molech? You defile yourselves with all the idols. As I live, says Hashem, right, that this will not be tolerated. I will pour out my fury. With a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, and with poured out fury will I reign over you. And I shall take you out with the peoples. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will send you to Golus, but eventually I'll return you. And finally, speaking about the end of days, Laman Shmi says one last time, he says, finally, after the whole gullus and the whole ordeal and the regathering, v'yadatem ki ani Hashem, and you'll finally know that I am Hashem when I bring you out of the land of your enemies, and you will remember your ways and your deeds which with you have been defiled, and you will know that I am Lord. And when I do with you for my name's sake, he says at the end, v'yadatem ki ani Hashem, basosi eschem, this is the final geula, laman shemi. V'lo kedarkechem haraim, and not according to your evil ways, v'ka'ali lo sechem, hinish chasos beistrol n'om Hashem, but not, it'll all be laman shemi, and not in accord with all your with all your rebelliousness. So this Perek Chaf in Yechezkel, four times in the main junctures in Jewish history, we are told that each and every time the Klal Yisrael didn't deserve the Yetziyah or the Geula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it Leman Shemo, on the count of his name, which is the ultimate, as we said, the ultimate Ava. So, what we're talking about here is this. We're talking about the fact that really, Klal Yisrael have a guarantee that even at the end, when the Yom Hashem comes around, which we'll speak about in a minute, and they're not worthy at all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save them. However, at the same time, right beyond that point, then it's each man kind of for themselves. Whoever is worthy and lives up to the Hashem's expectations will survive, and their children will survive, and then whoever isn't will be lost along the way. But the main thing is that what do we do then? Does that mean that we have this emuna that will all be saved at the Yom Hashem? Hine Yom, right in the end of Malachi, we learn Hine Anochi Shaleach Lechem Es Eliyahu Hanavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem. In other words, just like Moshe Rabbeinu came to Mitzrayim before the Yom Hashem, which always is the day of the Gilui Shechina, where what is Sheker doesn't survive, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also going to give us a chance. Eliyahu Hanavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem Veheshev Levavos Albanim Velev Banim Alavosam Ben Avo Vehikesi Es Haaretz Chem. So we're told like this: there will be a Yom Hashem, but at that point, being that it's preceded by Eliyahu Navi, each person is responsible for listening to the message of Eliyahu Navi and doing tshuva before the Yom Hashem. Now, in Mitzrayim it says they didn't listen, Mikotzer Ruach, Me'avodah Kasha. That's all that's mentioned in Va'era. Kind of an excuse for Klal Yisrael. But at the end of Malachi, now Malachi is the last prophet, and these are his last words. So this is the last message of Hashem to Klal Yisrael. This is the last words of Hashem to Klal Yisrael through the Nevi'im. This is how it ends. That Hashem is going to send Eliyahu Navi, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VaHanora, which is like the moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but if not for the tshuva of the people, Hashem will destroy, Pen Avo VeHikesias HaAretz Cherem. It could be total destruction. So now, we get to a point, this is where we kind of walk a fine line, okay? We sing, we want Mashiach now and all of that. To be realistic, the coming of Mashiach, or the Yom HaDin HaGadol, or the Yom Hashem, which the Nevi'im speak about, is something that Klal Yisrael really look at with a sense of tremendous trepidation, because we understand that only back there in Mitzrayim did they were saved by that token, so to speak, but really they were ra'oi for destruction. So on the one hand, we take the Yom Hashem, the upcoming Yom Hashem, extremely seriously. For example, Amos Perakei, Pasuk Yudches says, he warns us. Now, who was Amos? Amos was a Navi in the time of Uzziah. So that was, first of all, in the year approximately, let's say, 3,115. Same time as Yeshayahu, ben Amos. Now, in the year 3,115, which was almost, 100 years before the exile of the 10 tribes, which was 3,205, okay? So it was way before the Assyria came down and captured and swept away the Aseret HaShvatim. And that was another pretty much 100 years or more before Chorban Bayis Rishon, which the two remaining Shvatim were then sent to Gaula. So we're talking about hundreds of years before the real two, exiles started. And already Hashem is sending Amos and Yeshayahu and others to warn Klal Yisrael and warn Bavel way earlier that in the end there was going to be, all things, Klal Yisrael are in danger, and Klal Yisrael will experience a tremendous, Yom HaDin, but then Bavel itself will be punished for what they did, and they'll experience Yom HaDin. So here Amos says, this is for addressing to Klal Yisrael, okay? He says, Hai, Misavi Mis Yom Hashem, woe to those who desire the Yom Hashem. Be careful. Lama zelachem Yom Hashem? Why do you want Yom Hashem? Hu choshech v'lo or. Now, Amos lived in a time of great prosperity. and things were very good for Klal Yisrael, and they were safe, and they were wealthy. And they figured that they're ready kind of to experience the Yom HaShem for like the next step into the final Geula, the final Yom HaDin for all mankind. And Amos was warning them, you know, be very careful. Choshech v'lo ar. Kasher yonas ish mipnei ha'ari. Just like you run away, you flee from before a lion. Upego hadov, and then a bear catches you. And then you come home, v'ahabayis, v'samach yado alakir, and you rest on the wall because you're exhausted, v'nashko hanachash, and then the snake will get you. Now these are all allusions to the various sins and shortcomings that will pursue a person on the Yom HaDin, that they, you know, if they escape the danger of one of their sins, Hashem forgives them, then there's another sin that they're guilty of, or a third sin that will come to be like a prosecutor. It says, don't look forward to the Yom HaDin so much, the Yom HaShem, because it's a dangerous time, and only by the skin of their teeth did Klal Yisrael escape with this great, you know, miracle in Mitzrayim. And my grandfather used to say, he's, you know, and he didn't like this "we want Mashiach now" thing at all. He said that if you hear that Mashiach is coming, what you'll want to do, similar to what Amma says, is run and find the deepest, darkest cave and hope the Mashiach never finds you. Because Mashiach is unique among all the Nevi'im. We know that the Nevi'im, as a whole, they were able to report or convey what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them regarding the future of the particular, of Klal Yisrael, or, you know, who would be the king. Like Shmuel, for example, was told who would be the next king. David, he would go to anoint David. But they were not able to see the Yiras Shamayim in the neshama of a person. They were not able to see the righteousness, which is hidden and invisible, or the wickedness, or the, you know, the complicated intermingling of the two that exists in every person's neshama. So, for example, Haraya.
Shmuel said,
he thought the first son was the right way to be a melech, and Hashem said, no, you don't see it. I see. You only see the outside, and I see the inside, and he's no good. Not for kingship anyway. So even the Navi Shmuel could not see the real essence of what was in a person's heart. However, one of the roles of Mashiach, who comes in the Yom HaShem, is exactly this, is to know who's Ra'oi and who's not Ra'oi. So Mashiach seems to be the only one, my grandfather points this out in another place, that can determine the Yiras Shamayim of a person. So who in the world would want to be evaluated by Mashiach and judged, chas v'shalom? You know, so I remember my husband told me that, they used to say about the stipler, I think, that it was, that he was able to read, you know, there's a chachmas ha-partsuf or whatever, and he could look at, you know, see the righteousness or the whatever. He was able to have a sense of the person. And by looking at the forehead, I don't know if it's true or not, but they all, the big joke was everybody went in with their yarmulkes down here. Nobody knows except Mashiach. So by the way, nobody can read a person. Anybody can be fooled. Anybody can be fooled. The greatest tzaddik and the greatest rebbe and even a navi could be fooled by another person. Even Yitzchak was fooled by Esav. So it's all hidden. Don't think that somebody could look at you and know your internal avoda and your internal struggles and tell you what exactly you need to work on. Nobody sees into the neshama of a person. The one who knows you best is hopefully ourselves, should know ourselves best, and someone who's very close to us. But don't think that somebody could see you and know. It's not true. So, which is a good thing. Okay. Here also, Amos is warning us. So we have a very kind of, we have a tension thinking about the Yom HaShem or the Yom HaDin or the time of Mashiach. We see that it's fraught with danger. In fact, here, Yeshayahu says the same thing. Yeshayahu in Perek Yud Gimel, the whole Perek Yud Gimel talks about the Yom HaShem that's coming. And he says, and he's really speaking about the Yom HaShem that's coming to Bavel. But he says, Hine Yom HaShem Ba, the day of HaShem is coming, and it will be achzari, cruel, ve'evra, v'charon af. It's going to be with anger and with wrath, to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners. Right? So we're talking about the Yom Hashem in a way that makes us realize that, yes, it's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bound his name to Klal Yisrael.
So how are you supposed to
fulfill Tzipisa L'Mashiach? That's a very good question. How are you supposed to fulfill Tzipisa L'Mashiach? Tzipisa L'Yeshua. That is very good. So first of all, by the way, just this is not... This will take you off another track, but I'll answer the question. I just want to tell you a caveat there. Tzipisa LeYeshua is very interesting because Yeshua is always associated with Tchiyas HaMeisim. That's the code word for Tchiyas HaMeisim. So, by the way, Tzipisa LeYeshua means that even after death, the neshamas are hoping for Tchiyas HaMeisim. It's not always associated with the Geula itself, but the standard understanding is that it's for the Yom HaMashiach. So somebody, I once read that somebody asked, well, they attributed to the Chafetz Chaim exactly this question, how can I genuinely look forward to the Yeshua if I know my shortcomings and I'm afraid and I don't really want Mashiach to come? So he answered, that's true. However, on behalf of the world, in Klal Yisrael, it's a good thing. So even if for an individual it's fraught with danger, for the world at large, it's what's necessary, and you daven for the benefit of everybody. So in other words, what does that mean? That means that we do live with a certain tension between, on the one hand, a sense of our unworthiness and a fearful sense of the Yom HaDin. At the same time, with the promise of Leman Shemi, and we know that Hashem just, even in Mitzrayim, took the slightest, excuse really to save Klal Yisrael.
And who said people
not have
an excuse?
And right. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us a slight excuse, but who's to say that Hashem is not giving us that excuse right now? So my grandfather asked the following question. How come when Moshe came to speak in front of Paro the first time and speak in the name of Hashem and say, send my nation out, right? Paro didn't listen. And 6 months went by and Hashem sent Moshe back and Klal Yisrael met him on the way and they were very angry and said, what did you do? Everything got much worse since you came the first time. You gave him ammunition. You put ammunition in his hands. We're suffering more. So Hashem's, that's the end of Shemos, and Hashem said, okay, now things are really going to start. What was the point of those 6 months? That Klal Yisrael had to find their own straw. What was the point of those 6 months? So he points out, and this is perhaps this idea, that Hashem is looking for some type of, excuse to save Klal Yisrael, a promise that we want to live up to our role. My grandmother says those 6 months were not really for Klal Yisrael. Those 6 months were for the Mitzrayim. Because once they were not given straw by the government, the Jewish people had to go and find straw. Well, where do you find straw? You have to turn to the farmers who have bundles of, cut hay, which turns into straw. And you have to say, do us a favor. We need straw or we're going to be killed and we're going to be, we're going to be beaten. And Paro's not giving us straw to build his cities, and you're Egyptian citizens, and you also, Paro wants his cities built. So, we're doing your work for you. We're free slave labor. Just give us some straw. So each and every Egyptian, because they spread out through the land, each and every Egyptian had a moment of truth in those 6 months. Would they help Klal Yisrael, or would they not? And based on their behavior in those 6 months, the fate of every Egyptian was sealed. So otherwise, every Egyptian would say, well, what did you want me to do? We enslaved the people. I had nothing to do with it. Well, why am I guilty? Right? But the fact is that, same like Europe, every single Egyptian had an opportunity to make a decision. So we never know when the last 6 months are, or the last time period is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seeing who's stepping up to the plate. But we do know that, therefore, because we have a sense of trepidation of the Yom Hashem, that it will come despite our unworthiness, and Hashem will hopefully give us some type of, some rope to hold on to, and we trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save Klal Yisrael because he has no choice, but yet that doesn't absolve us of responsibility. Now that is interesting, because all of these ideas are translated into the matzah. And we'll talk about the matzah for a minute. Notice how the matzah works. What is the matzah? Is it lechem oni, the bread of our affliction, like you pick up in the beginning of the meal, ha'alach ma'anya? Or is it the afikomen, the bread of the geula? right? The larger piece that's reserved for the end, which is you know, symbolizes the schar. The bread of the geula that came so quickly that we didn't have time to bake it. Does it represent the inoy, the oni, the spiritual poverty, or does it represent the nisim and the geula? Which one is it?
Could it be both?
Of course it's both. Now, there's actually two Yom Tovim going on in Pesach, as we've spoken about. There's Chag HaPesach, which takes place on the 14th of Nisan for a few hours, Bein Harbayim. And on Chag HaPesach, you eat the Korban Pesach, which is what we've been speaking about, a gratitude to Hashem for saving us when we were not worthy, Laman Shemo. And with that, you eat the matzah as Lechem Oni to show our spiritual poverty. Right? That lechem is show, you know, represents Klal Yisrael, the smaller piece that you break off, right? That the big piece is for the future, but the smaller piece represents Klal Yisrael. Now, that's on the 14th of Pesach. That's prior to Makos Bechoros and the big Eloi Shechina. And that represents our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's why we eat it with the Pesach, and that we were not worthy, but Hashem nevertheless saved us. Then after that, at night of the 15th, starts a new yontiv called Chag HaMatzos, which lasts 7 days. And that's about the Geula. And that's all the Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. And that's the matzah we eat that represents how HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted us up and brought us into a new dimension. And we lived in the Midbar with the Nisim and all of that. That's the matzah afterwards. So, now, the question is, to eat the matzah afterwards, the afikomen, which is really the later matzah, okay, the last matzah, the bigger piece, you know, there's a reason why we hide and find the afikomen. And there's a reason why the tradition developed, unlike, for example, giving gifts on Hanukkah, which is strictly Christian, copying Xmas, because it's really Hanukkah gelt, but there's a reason, an ancient reason, why you give a gift for the afikomen, a reward. My grandfather heard this from his father. That larger piece of matzah represents the schar la'asid lavo, which is not guaranteed. That's earned. The geula is guaranteed. That's what we eat the matzah with the Pesach. Whether we're worthy or not, Hashem will skip over us. But then, that's the smaller half. That's this world, that we're saved here. We have an opportunity to start the process. But accomplishing that, the end of the journey is the bigger piece that's reserved for the future, which is the schar, the tzofun, hidden. That's the hidden schar of the future, which each and every person is destined to receive. That's based on personal achievement. That's based on personal achievement. So everybody gets a chance based on, you know, a desire to be part of the, you know, the rest of the history of Klal Yisrael. But then it divides up based on each person's merit. So we hold, the main idea is that just like in Mitzrayim, there's a kind of a tension between the guarantee of the Yeshua, because Laman Shemi, the guarantee of HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepting even a token of, you know, goodwill, but then the necessity of everybody to take advantage of the geula and do something with it. Now, by the way, it doesn't just talk about the individual geula, I mean the national geula, but every person's, you know, geula. Because in everybody's life comes some, you know, moments of geula that are then supposed to be a building block for greater achievement. Yeah.
Where does the bris milah come in, though? That was the mitzvah that they were given.
The
so
two dams.
Show that the dam of them.
Because the bris milah, you're right. We didn't talk about that. The bris milah is connected them to Abraham. And Avram, the whole, and part of the reason that Hashem. Okay, so the Avram was promised the Bris Ben Absarim, which was before the Bris Milah, right? The Bris Ben Absarim, which is that Hashem would take Klal Yisrael out, really was at the Bris Ben Absarim that Kadosh Baruch Hu intertwined his name with our name. That's really when it happened. So the Bris Milah, which was Avraham and only, you know, given to the, you know, even though the Ishmaelim do it, but really that's our Bris. That links Klal Yisrael to Avraham, who was the source of the intertwining of the names. That's really what the bris is. So they had the bris milah, which connected them to Avraham, and then they had the dam Pesach, two bloods, and the blood on the door, the dam of the Pesach on the door, that's what it's talking about, that showed their intention. So as they sat there in their houses, looking at what they just committed to, or what they, you know, promised to kind of reach towards, right? And by the way, by the time they got to the Yam, they were still of the Avodah Zarah, right? Because we know that the Yam didn't want to split, and the Malachim were arguing, Elo of the Avodah Zarah, Elo of the Avodah Zarah, and that's what we just read in Yechezkel. And then in the Midbar, they, you know, there were still problems with the Avodah Zarah. And then when they got into Eretz Yisrael, there were problems. So, and yet, along all the way, we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ava She'ena Tluya B'davar. But you do see at the same time, not everybody made it through those stages. Klal Yisrael will, but not each and every individual. So there's a collective response, you know, collective guarantee, and then an individual responsibility. Okay.
So only if you don't recognize Hashem, this is when the redemption.
Correct. My grandfather always said, Shko Chamascha El Hagoyim, not Al. El me, and it says Hagoyim. He says that it was not every guy.
Right.
Towards the ones.
This is also for us to learn. If we know Hashem and we recognize Hashem, there will be no Shko Chamascha.
On the Klal Yisrael. Okay, everybody. Yes. Oh, I'm supposed to make an announcement. We have a chabura going on for Tuesday night, every other Tuesday night, that Rina's in charge of, and Wednesday afternoon by Ariel at 11:45 every Wednesday, and it's for to raise tzedakah for Tzilish, you know, who does the Kesher Yehudi, which is a great program, and it was expensive. But we really want to try to raise money for, so maybe we'll offer a discount. So if anybody wants to try,
what is it again?
It's Tuesdays at every other Tuesday night at 9, and 11:45 on Wednesdays. We're learning Hilchos Tshuva, and it's not a lecture, it's interactive. And if anyone wants to try, you can talk to Rina. Okay, everyone. Bye, Ariel. Have a good week, everybody.
Thank you. That's so wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Hello.
Okay.
Okay. Once. Okay. Next. Yeah.
I need to talk to you, Katie. It'll take a little talk, right? I don't want to.
You're not on the express line.
No,
you're on the regular line.
I'm on the regular line.
Mashiach.
No, even through the lines. People have
moments. What would be considered personal?
For example, a person is unworthy and has a Yeshua. I mean, it's all the time. The saving from, you know, imminent death, saving from, you know, whatever. Just like people that don't, you know, we always say
that. You mean like people have personal makes, that's what you mean by Yeshua.
You know, we always say that Ashkocha Pratis is Kafi Madrigal Sashawadra. That's the general rule. You get Ashkocha Pratis according to the Madrigal. Some people more or less. But then there are people that, according to the rules, would have no Ashkocha Pratis at all. And yet all of a sudden, it's like a Matna Tchina, you know, there's an innate. What is that? What is that? That's a Yeshua that comes despite, like, no worthiness, but then what do you do with it? That's the personal stuff. Oh, no, Dina wanted to. Yeah, go ahead. That's true. But it was intellectual. They didn't serve them. They didn't do the serve those that were there in a way that was just something that was known. There was no riot, there was no shit.
It's so much easier, so easy for them to fall under all of these things, for your ayot and so on the way to the
Kippur. You said they did all right. You mean the ego?
The Egel and further on. If it was England, how could they sue us?
You had 99% of the clogs from. Oh, sure, 100%. And 100% is off on the side, you know, messing up. Exactly. It's a very good situation. It's a very good Matzah. Talking about Chodesh, don't lose perspective. Don't lose perspective, because the Nikar was a small percentage. A tiny percentage. Don't lose perspective on that.
It's very hard.
Okay, but look at the numbers. Just look at the numbers of the Torah of Israel. It was 7,000.
It didn't last. It was not being
Now, why isn't the 85-90% of you well good enough on first draft? And forget the other part. Then Hashem comes down so hard on Hashem for those for small percentages that are afflicted. You know, you don't think about all the wonderful companies. You hear about the five people in those papers that have come from New York City. You have massive collection. Those are doing good. So always a small perspective. We're a world unto ourselves. And in the world unto ourselves, basically people are pretty much good. When you hear about the horrible ones, you don't want to be personal with you. So you're hard. By the way, nothing good at that good convention because that's how you walk the valley. We have lots of families. Somebody got up, I forgot who, very nice. And they said, I want to tell you about, you know, that's not the only, that's not, you know, who we really are. There are plenty of stories of the, you know, small people with the conditions. So he told the story about the public accident. Lee Cater, she wasn't even there, said there was a Jew, somebody came to him, a Jew said to Rabbi, I forgot who gave this, I was getting mugged, I was driving my car through Harlem or wherever, and they came, you know, at a red light, and a bunch of people came and they tried to rip open the car. Yeah, the next day, get away from that Jew, that's my Jew, protect that Jew. And they pulled the other guy away, and so the Jew, you know, the whoever was, the person wanted to thank you for my time. He said, just saved my life, and I appreciate it. He goes, I work for the Hummer Cats and the Elite Caterers. And they told me, but there's a lot of that too. Tremendous. But there's a lot of that too. You just don't hear. It doesn't make the paper.
It's the way you were saying about the 6 months where the Egyptians were being, so that's actually consistent with Az-Yashir, where Az-Yashir describes
that's
the different
correct.
Levels
correct.
Of punishments.
Correct.
Some like
exactly.
straw, some like rock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how, you know, exactly. I was going to say that I had to say, but it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
I need something for you guys to percolate.
To talk about.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, maybe we'll read it. But I'm like that,
because in the Yom HaDin, if we're going to do it for Yom HaDin, we're all going to be obliterated because none of us can stand up to it. None of us. So then we just be astonished in this world and forget
that. So the hopefulness is that Hashem is going to save Klal Yisrael as long as there's something a little, you know.
So even if I, because I remember my sister was saying when she would say, oh, Mashiach, I go, oh, I don't want Mashiach to come, but I can't be right. She goes, you know, we can't think that way. Because
right.
in my mind,
we hold
right. And
no
I kept thinking, this is my picture. Everybody's lined up. They go, you come, Rivka.
The thing is, I think Akash Baruch is looking for something to go on.
So whatever,
But that's just for the Geula. But then afterwards,
you have to.
Well, once the Geula,
so
you can't judge. But when I think about Yitzis Mitzrayim, the miracles over there were such idiots.
It was very different.
No,
I
wanted to bring it up. Which
no,
was
they were not.
That. Look at the Haitian people. They were slaves 200 years ago. Nothing in their mentality has changed. Just think about it. You can see with your eyes. 200 years went by.
But they didn't have the Nisim in front of them.
It doesn't matter, but the mentality of a slave. It's a mentality of a slave that you cannot uproot. Look, look, you know what? I'll give you a better
example. But when we had the Makkah,
she's right. We Kleisel didn't really have a slave mentality. They were very smart and very discerning, and they didn't want to believe in Moshe because they didn't trust the miracle when we did that. The thing is this. I think we lose perspective sometimes. Who were Kleisel? Kleisel were people ready to come to our synagogue. But intellectually, okay, and it's not so different from us today, they didn't trust completely in this amorphous concept of an invisible single God. They have, you know, the need to have something practical. We are exactly the same, okay? Any firm person, for example, technically, if you really think about it, why should anyone ever have an alarm system, lock a door, take a pill, right? Hashem is everything. And the truth is, if you have that level of emunah, don't go to doctors, don't ever take medication.
But are you really halachically allowed?
That's not the point. The point is, if you trust only in a Kaddish Baruch Hu,
okay,
that's how you would theoretically live. And you'd only lock your door, like, not because you really wanted to lock it, because you have the shtadlus. But you wouldn't feel like, okay, now I'm safe. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from Kai. So you know when he gave them the money?
Yeah.
Every night it rotted. So it wasn't like they had an apple in the refrigerator. They had nothing. Zero. So they would have to wake up in the morning
you're right. Going to have.
So the Madrega HaKadosh Baruch Hu was expecting them, was trying to bring them up to, that's why they're called Dar Ochle Haman, the eaters of Man, that's like their title.
Yeah.
Is a level, we're no better than them, we're a gazillion times worse than them.
Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that they were over the road, what does that mean? It means that they lack of complete, you know, total focus on Hashem and Hashem only, and wanting something like we want to hold on to, something right. Practical. By the way, they're much higher madriga, they're called Dardeya. And yet what Hashem really wanted from them is almost an incomprehensible.
So instead
madriga.
Of us going up, we're going further down all the time.
No, but at the same time, which we've spoken about a lot here, the fact that Hashem took away Nevuah, took away Nisim, took away all the miracles, right, and everything.
Nisim Galui.
Open, right, yeah. Right, I remember that. Yeah. Doesn't mean Hashem is abandoning us, and
he's abandoning us. I just think that I can't understand.
So despite the fact that we are so far,
we're not getting it.
I think right. It's there. We can't see it. It's there.
I don't think you're right. I think that to take a door that came up a Holocaust, that came up all that incomprehensible, and it's Mitzrayim really. It came and then that door. Maybe they're not perfect, but they build yeshivas and they go home.
Oh, absolutely.
And their kids, and maybe those are the ones from, but their kids will be from it. We're not so from, but our kids are from it. I got a kid who's way from it than me. You can, he sang
my kids.
You know those signs in Beisharim? All those big black heads. Like, figured out exactly how to duplicate that. So he has a big sign outside the girls' room. My house is like this. There's a hallway within my three boys' rooms, and then here is the girls' room, okay? So when the girls out of their room, here's the boy. So he put a big sign here, exactly like that. Sneez! Please do not walk through our hallway in your modest dress.
Oh my gosh.
You know that sign? Gaval, gaval, gaval. And he writes short sleeves, pants, whatever, tank tops, and so on.
This is
a big sign. It's hysterical.
Yeah, it's in the kingdom.
It's hysterical. He writes big signs. It's hysterical. It's hysterical. Anyway, he hangs a big sign on the refrigerator. Kashras, please do not touch the ice with milk and hams or with flacial hams because the ice will be trying to use that sign all over the house. On the computer. Come on!
It's
the funniest thing ever.
I wonder what's going to happen to his
obviously.
Children.
No, this is a shtick.
Yeah.
But you're saying that all our children go to the right. I agree with you.
Yeah,
but
they go to the right.
I think that the rest. No. The coming generation is going to go. Whatever, I'm not enough.
The point is that the fact is after everything we went through, that we have a firm community and Torah being learned and the mitzvahs being kept, it is.
Are you really looking at the whole picture or are you looking at your...
Everybody
go, I go to Israel, I come off and I look at the airport and I...
When there's more Tahara, there's more Tumah. So there's more people coming back to
just like everybody else. You think so?
Yeah.
I just think that it's a beautiful picture to paint. I don't think that's the reality. We are losing a lot more.
We are losing a lot. We are losing a lot. But that's why
it's a fit.
That's
why when we say and we're so proud of whatever, it's just looking at a very
I just think that the core is the beating heart that has has responsibility. That's all these cure programs to bring, to try to bring everybody.
It's first starting in Israel. But also it's like you shake everything and you just get only the...
It's attention.
Or you take it out from the gold, all the...
But we also have a promise in each other, Bal Yidach Mimeno Nidach. Shem will find a way to shake everybody up, as you said. And
unfortunately, which is the Shoah.
By the way, I want to say something. The secular state of Eretz Yisrael, whether they know it or not, has a tremendous achus, because the yeshivas are being supported by all the chilonim. That's who's supporting the yeshivas, correct? Because the Haredim aren't paying taxes, they're not voting, right? So the truth is, whether they know it or not, they have a tremendous achus. They are supporting Torah.
Al-Kohan.
Oh, it is, but they are supporting Torah. No, but that's not the point. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for something,
they
have a achus.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find.
Yes, I was standing by Marat HaMachpelah waiting for
my... They also don't force the people going.